of this old hack. It's good morning time here. Happy springtime. Excellent time to get out and get caught up on some of those projects you might have been putting off for the winter. Like, say, fixing the lawn. Today, that's exactly what I'm going to work on is my lawnmower. As far as we know, the starter went out on it. It got to the point where, well, the battery was already dead anyway, so I'd have to jump start it. And then it got to the point where jump starting it wouldn't work anymore. So after a little research, we decided that it was the starter that wasn't working. So first thing I did, as with any engine or electrical project, I disconnected the negative battery terminal to prevent accidental short circuits and sparky deals and that kind of good stuff. Well, came out here and assessed my project previously before recording. So I already have disconnected the battery terminal, which wasn't much to it. It just took, you know, some vice grips and backed off the nut a little bit. Then I went to actually remove the starter. That's when I noticed that it was held in place by special Torx head bolts, Torx head screws, whatever the hell they are. What that means is that instead of your standard hex head, the Torx head is a star-shaped creation. So you have to have special tools to operate on Torx type equipment. One of the first places you'll find Torx is in your cars, especially Ford cars, but I've also seen them in variations of the star-shaped socket in GM vehicles as well. So I've disconnected the battery terminal. I had to go shopping and purchase my special sockets, which you can't just buy the one. You have to buy the whole 11-piece set from Wally World there, which it's an 11-piece combo Torx bit socket set. And it's 11 pieces, that's $22. So, you know, that's $2 a freaking socket there, which that may or may not be cheap depending on what level of budget you have. And I went ahead and bought a new ratchet driver because I wasn't sure if I had a, what size of drive does this use? A 3/8 inch ratchet driver. Now, ratchet drivers, they, ratchet handles, whatever we want to call them, they come in different sizes. You got a half inch, you got 3/8. I think they make inch. A variety of sizes. And pretty much what that means is that's the actual piece that fits into the socket itself. So, for example, you wouldn't want to use a small, like a quarter inch ratchet when working on a big piece of machinery, because you're going to snap that little piece of metal that attaches inside the socket off. I've done it many times on many cheap ratchets. which is another reason I went ahead and bought one, because I think I probably broke off the last one. So if you're using stockage, you need to make sure you have the right size driver for your set. And they come in different grades, different quality, and of course you get what you pay for. The nice thing about if you get Craftsman tools, you can always take them back to Sears and they will replace it for free. That's assuming you've got a Sears in your area. Most of the nicer ratchets have like a button so you can release the ratchet from the, so you can release the socket from the ratchet. Which means if you've got like a sticky bolt, sometimes your socket will want to stick inside the bolt instead of on the end of the driver. So, what the fuck was that? Oh wow, that was two bees having sex. They were giving me a flying fuck. So what I'm doing now is I'm just trying to get the bolts out of here. It's no big deal. They're pretty easy to turn, so I don't have to worry about breaking anything off. There was a little plastic cover that covered the gears on the end of a starter. Now, might be a good time to start talking about internal combustion engines in general. I plan on doing more about vehicles in the future, transitioning from home repair to automotive repair as we get into the springtime and the summer here. So be looking forward to that. So I've got a few projects that I've got to work on in that area. So let's see, internal combustion engines are really pretty simple. Mainly it's just like it sounds. It's a controlled explosion inside of a chamber. The explosion forces a piston to go down, which in the case of vehicles forces a piston on another side, an opposing piston, to go up. And this upward and downward force does other things as well. For example, the piston going up will force the exhaust gases out of the chamber and into the exhaust system. And then when it reaches the top of its cycle, it starts to head back down. Then the valve will open that lets in the fuel and air. Then it gets ignited by a spark, which is in the top of the, well, it depends on the setup of the motor, really. It'll get ignited by a spark, and the spark will ignite the gas and the fuel, which will drive the piston downward and continue the process. And it's, of course, it's a whole, there's a lot more to it than that. That's just a really oversimplified kind of a way of looking at it. Now, the starter kind of gets everything started, right? It's got to manually turn the motor that first few times to get it going. It's like the spark is part of the mechanical action. The spark doesn't come directly from the battery. In the old cars, you had your distributor cap and your distributor. Now, the battery runs to the distributor, and the distributor has spark plug wires on top, and it has a gear at the bottom. So the distributor slides all, has a long shaft that slides all the way down into the engine block. Now, as the engine turns, the gears spin a rotor at the top of the shaft, and that rotor determines which piston, which spark plug to fire in which piston, and it does this in order so it all stays in time balance. Now, this is one of those things that you really don't want to mess with. You can't change the wires, put them on different plugs, because you'll at best cause a backfire. At worst, you could probably cause some serious damage to your vehicle. So anyway, okay, I've got the starter removed here, and let's see, it's got, of course, it's got the one power hot wire from the battery, and then it's got a little clip that's just seems to be used for routing wires around it. So all I need now is pliers, and I will be ready to have this thing removed so my wife can order a new part. So depending on how long this takes, this getting of the part, I should say, takes, I may or may not have the reinstallation and testing of the starter in this episode, or it may be some later episode that I complete this project. But that's that. I've simply removed the starter, and now I'll have to use it to order a replacement. And this goes back to something I recorded in a previous, yet as of yet unpublished show, is that if you have to get something repaired on a vehicle and you have to take it to the auto store, then you're best off, and if you can, don't drop the starter on the ground. If you can, if it's all possible, to take the actual part to the part store. That way you can match them up before you go trying to put it back in. I know I keep mentioning my broke down van story, but I've got a lot of those. And so the night the van broke down and I had to swap the alternator out in the parking lot, when I went to the parts store, I told them the wrong year or something for the van, and so I ended up with the wrong starter, although I didn't realize it. And it looks the same, but when you go to put it in there, it's got mounting points that are in specific spots. So no matter how much I turned and twisted the damn thing, it still wasn't going to go, no matter what. And there's no ghetto way to make an alternator. You know, you can't just stick it in there with one bolt. It's not like you can't duct tape it, or it's got a lot of freaking torque on just the nose of it. I mean, it's like you've got this belt that's under high tension, and the alternator has a pulley on one side of it, and it's got all the tension from this belt on it. I mean, this is like some serious, you know, pounds of pressure. And so you can't just put it on there with one bolt, because it has to be just perfect, because this belt has to run around it at however many RPMs it runs around it at. You know, this is like the running of the motor, kind of an important thing.
This is food failure. This food failure.
Showed up, and they happened to have a head, and they restrung it for me and put a brand new head on for me.
I'll
demonstrate.
Demonstrate, please, by all means.
You can I don't know the different ways to play a djembe, like the hippies. The hippies, they'll lay it down by the fire like this. Cause when you warm the head up, it gets a better sound, like. Here, see that right there? If you warm it up, it'll be, instead of being that note, it'll be like a couple octaves higher, because it'll go ping, 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 instead of bomb, 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 because the skin tightens up when it's warmer. Yeah. But, now the hippies, they'll sit down on it like this, and sit on the wide part at the bottom and play. As long as you keep the port off the ground, then it sounds all right.
It just got a warm up. You had that rattle. It sounds all right.
No, that's me being gangsta.
You've got your fucking fingers on.
That's my loose trunk sound.
That's my loose trunk sound. It's gangster.
Well, they put both of these straps on for me.
My friend loves.
You can also
actually
stand up like you're in a line. And
he loves playing drums.
I do.
You still have your fingers on it.
And sometimes I'll play with it with a shirt over it.
It just stick it next to the fire.
Muffled sound.
Yes.
It gets all bass without
the
vibration.
I do. I
play it a lot.
I actually. If I could like be alone by a fire and play it for a while, I'd probably enjoy it immensely, but it's just the idea of people watching me not know how to play the djembe.
I don't care.
I've heard some people do some crazy shit on a djembe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tricks that I don't know. Like,
yeah.
If you wet your finger and you smack it and you slide the wet finger across the skin, then it'll make kind of a whoop sound as you go from the center to the edge, where it's a low tone in the center. And then it's a high tone on the edges. And actually, depending on how much pressure, like if you hold the skin tight with one hand, you could change kind of the pitch of the high notes around the edge, too.
It's really similar to the conga.
Yeah, it's similar to the conga,
because that's a technique that you learn when you play the conga.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what the difference between the conga and the djembe is, other than the inverted shape. It's
it
exact,
might be the difference.
It's the exact opposite shape.
Well, I mean, the conga and the bongo, I mean, obviously are the relative size. An actual conga is huge.
Yeah, I've played real congas before.
I mean, but I mean, it's all just ethnic. It's different, like, that obviously looks nothing like one. Therefore, it's a different kind of drum.
Now you know.
Yeah, DJ.
Yeah, Jimbays are really nice. And, you know, from traveling and going to Rainbow Town and stuff, you know, you have fucking, you can hear that shit all night. You have fucking drum circles with like 200 people playing drums.
And if you're in the right state of mind, you can.
And they'll go all damn night too, man. They fucking will sit there and beat that drum all night.
8 hours straight. Once you get into that zone, into that mantra, you can just sit there and like just
what are you looking for?
Because new drummers will come in and you know drummers will go out, but like the beat's always going on. So like you could just take a break for a while, go smoke a cigarette, you know, do whatever. The beat's still going on, and you just come back. You know, usually it's like somebody sitting next to you without a drum. You're like, hey, you know, you want to play the drum for a minute? He's like, sure. You know, you just sit back, smoke a cigarette, do whatever, and then come back. It's like, all right, can I have my drum back? It's like, okay. Just go sit back down. The beat never stops for, like, fucking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Straight, you know, literally. Like,
fucking,
24 hours a
day. There's always somebody fucking playing
24 hours a day, there's always somebody there fucking drumming. Always a fucking fire, always fucking people drumming.
And there's always pot. And coffee. Lots of coffee.
Yeah. She knows this, but I think she knows this. I mean, I did drum corps for 2 years. So
yeah.
As far as, trust me.
I've never learned how to play. I can't.
You don't have to
bang
convince
on
a drummer to play forever.
Oh yeah.
We'll do it as long as our bodies hold out.
Yeah, I get like that. Usually, but I usually get like inspired to play, and I ended up playing like at like 140 beats per minute, but only for 5 minutes. I know, right? So I'll fucking tear it up for like fucking 5-10 minutes, and then like the next day my hands are all fucking swollen up, and she's like, yeah, I fucking rocked that drum.
That was what was really cool, another cool thing about it. That was probably one of my favorite memories, the Civil War reenactment. Especially when you hang out with the Irish Brigade. The musician corps, and I mean, they usually started it, but I mean, nights like this, there would be 300 of these fires around
right,
the camp.
Of course,
And you know, and the guys would be sitting around, and you know, they'd have like their period flasks and stuff, they'd be passing that around. You know, they would be wrapped. You know, they'd make their own cigarettes.
Oh yeah, we used to roll our own cigarettes all the time. We'd still do it if it wasn't so hard to find them around here.
Yeah, and you know, pipes were you know very popular in that day and age.
Yeah.
Old, you know, old cork pipes and stuff. People would just sit around, and all of a sudden, you know, a guy would come up with a guitar or like a period replica guitar or a fife or. You know, a harmonica.
Right.
A lot of people carried harmonicas.
Yeah,
and every once in a while, you get lucky to find one Irish guy who brought up. For the life of me, I can't think of the name. It's a drum head stretched over a wooden frame, and it's got a cross member in the back. And you hold it, and you can adjust the tension of the drum head with your thumb. And it's a double-headed mallet. It's a stick about that long with cork on both sides. And you hold it in between your fingers like this, and you hold the drum and you just adjust the tension, and you play just rocking it back and forth.
Nice.
And I mean it just you know they'll start getting these Irish jig songs going. And I mean it's just great. You know you just and we'd sit around for hours until like the fucking colonel would come up and be like shut the fuck up. You know?
Yeah, I got invited to go do a reenactment. Probably coming up sometime soon. The anniversary of Swift Creek is coming up.
We need to get you an outfit.
And I gotta see if they can. They said they're gonna try to find me an outfit. Of course, I'm gonna be playing the gray team.
Dude, they're not gonna find you a big ass outfit.
No,
I can tell you that.
That's something I would. I'd love to get back in.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
The initial
setup.
Because you gotta have like the uniform and all that shit.
I mean, the uniform is the cheap shit.
Oh yeah.
It's the, and there's all different types of reenactors. There's the casual reenactors who show up for the, you know, the reenactments and stuff. Who will come with their shit all nice and pretty and, you know, every fucking little piece you have. And then you have campaigners. And there's actually people, you know, these campaigners are people who, in May, a lot of them are school teachers. Their work job ends in May and they will hit the road.
Right.
and they will be out for months at a time. These are men who don't shower.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are men who very seriously, if you want to find the closest thing you'll find to a real living Civil War soldier persona, that's who they are.
Nice.
They learn the dialect. They carry, they'll take pictures of their wife and children in period dress and have a historical photographer take a picture with a period camera.
Nice.
They'll carry it in lockets. They'll write diary entries. They'll write letters to their wives.
Nice.
They fucking stink. And they carry what a soldier would have carried, you know, from being on the road, being in war for 2-3 years. They're not walking around with a goddamn campaign pack.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because we all know that your first or second battle, you dropped that motherfucker and never picked it back up. They're not walking around with all these little shit that everyone else carries. I mean, there's very different degrees of...
Once you're out there long enough, you realize to get rid of the dumb shit. And just carry what you need.
Get rid of the dumb shit and you realize that, you know, you didn't have, you know... Some people, you know, showed up and they have all these, like, well, this is mine here, this is this, and the bottom line is by the end of the war, you had a few things that were yours that, you know, you'd risk your life to get back.
Yeah. That's like,
everything
else, like these chairs.
Everything else, you dropped it and you waited, you know, to the next battle and you picked up something that you dropped the last battle off a dead guy standing next to you.
Yeah. And that's like these chairs, like the guys come out to the gatherings and they buy all this camping shit to come out to fucking go live in the woods with the hippies, and then they ended up leaving fucking chairs and fucking all sorts of garbage and shit they didn't know they didn't need until they got out there. And they're like, oh shit, I don't need all this dumb shit. I just need to fucking sit around on a log and fucking drink some beer, smoke some tobacco. They didn't have to have a filter. We can fucking roll them up in some papers. You know, it's a lot cheaper that way.
Yeah.
But that drum head should be warmed up. Chain's pitched up. See, I've never learned to play drums. I just played drums with hippies in the woods. But it's fun. It's a good release. You know? Yeah, you probably want to finish the cigarette first. And any rings you might have could damage the skin.
I am ringless.
Yeah, I am too. I can't wear.
I used to wear class rings.
I can't wear rings. We haven't found one that I can wear anyway. I've tried gold and silver. I haven't tried platinum or titanium or any of that shit yet, but it just eats my fucking finger. Like the last time I tried to wear a ring, I think it was white gold, you know, or silver. I don't know, but fucking 8 hours later, my finger was fucking raw where the ring was sitting. I just have a chemical interaction with the fucking metals. My belt buckle, if it hits my skin, and that's for like a day, my fucking, where it's rubbing against my stomach, it'll fucking be all raw and shit. I don't get it.
Well, some people just have allergic reactions to metal.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Can you wear necklaces and stuff like that?
No, because it'll turn my neck green.
I'd rather be a redneck, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Nothing wrong with being a redneck. That's for sure. Better be a redneck than a blue devil, by God.
I can feel my brain shrinking.
I know, right?
This is food failure.
If you wet your finger and you smack it and you slide the wet finger across the skin, then it'll make kind of a whoop. It's nice. Oh man, yeah, I've got one recording.
You should hear our fucking owl recording, dude.
Play it for me when you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that fucking thing.
But, I mean, like, the birds out here last year, I recorded them just during the day, one just random day. And, I mean, like, playing the recording back on the computer, it sounds like it's, like, actually in the jungle. I mean, it's like I'm, like, got the camera and I'm panning around, like, tops of the trees and shit. And all you hear is, like, there's 10 different species of birds. All making different sounds and shit. And I'm just panning around the trees trying to find one of them. It's kind of jungle fabulous for sure.
It was weird. Yesterday I was sitting outside the PD and smoking a cigarette. I decided to sit down on the bench there in the common area.
My bro used to beat up so much on my M16. I used to have to switch clubs. Because the Burrow M16, it burns up so quick. You put 3 clips in an M16, the Burrow heats up so fucking bad. Oh, fuck.
If you wet your finger and you smack it and you slide the wet finger across the skin, then it'll make kind of a whoop.
Someone planted my nuts in that hole. I'm gonna plant them.
We'd have been much better off finding out what's soft and pink.
I gave him a little reward for chasing the bull.
Oh, I got those bison over by the house, but there's somebody's private stock there.
We could steal one?
I'm gonna steal somebody's bison.
Wow.
I think that's a bad idea.
How many you get?
You never seen a bison?
Buffalo.
Well, I thought no, they're American buffalo, so they're
buffalo,
but they're really American bison.
Something American.
People call them buffalo, but they're not really buffalo. Real buffalo, like the ones you get in India, that they make mozzarella cheese from.
What the hell are you talking about?
Like in Buffalo Bill and.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, too. The American buffalo that they had out in the Wild West, those are American bison. Real buffalo are like they got out in India that they get the milk from to make mozzarella. Because the best mozzarella in the world comes from
bison.
Buffalo cheese. She's having a good time now.
What?
Maybe they'll get in a fight.
Who fighting?
The Bulls.
What for?
The Chicago Bulls.
Somebody fighting?
No.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
He running with his trucks. I'm thinking.
You gotta have somewhere to run him to first.
If we get on the side of him with a truck, you throw that loop on his neck, jump off. Let the rope go, wrap it on his bumper, and then put it in reverse, he'll stop, because the rope would tighten up. And he weak anyway.
You know,
that's to get mad and bump the shit out of the truck.
Weak light bull.
He look weak to you?
What if he's got mad cow disease or something?
Yeah, you'll tell he'd been on camera and tore up everything, or he'd be on my deck right here. You know you got a mad cow. Then that's when I have to pull the 12 gauge out.
Oh yeah.
I'll drop
it. 12 gauge
right ass? I'll drop right in my back.
And then what are you gonna do with him? Get a forklift
cook
down
me
here?
A chainsaw and go to cut. I get that big.
You're not gonna eat the cow after it's been killed with mad cow disease.
He ain't got mad cow. I'm just gonna
tell him. Why are you gonna shoot it?
Because it's dinner. I don't know, that's a couple buddies, man. Come over here, let's get him.
If you tell them that you ate the cow that had mad cow disease, they're going to quarantine your family. Going to be like E.T. and shit. They're going to put a big bubble over your house. There's going to be guys
in
suits.
I'm
going to
get some of that hay on that roll and throw it down in there and see if he eats on it. But they eat hay, but they'd rather have fresh grass, huh? You don't know about no bull,
though. You know, I don't know anything about bull. All I saw was a big pile of bullshit over there. I took a picture of that, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Should put it on my plant?
The bullshit? There's a certain period of time you're supposed to let it ferment before you use it for gardening.
You got a bunch of it around here.
Let me say it again. Say disc.
Disc food failure. This food
I don't think your nuts were in a hole because they'd been planted.
Roma said you only put one bulb in each hole, didn't she?
So?
So, all your nuts were in one hole.
Which means no one planted them.
And it's really rather audacious, too. Take a look at this story I found on Hootnet.
Conkers the Collie had all the good things a dog could hope for. But the thing he loved most of all was his big, juicy bone.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.